I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:31 p.m. today, on the 17th of July, 2020. And as I have started to do on somewhat of a regular basis, I'm going to play a clip at the beginning of the show here. This is Mike Adams, who has a website called pandemic.news. And he says here, doctors and hospitals are deliberately killing patients with COVID-19. Let's hear what he has to say.
Well, the big things here, including an admission on my part, a judgment mistake, failure that I made about apparently hospitals and doctors. But this is an important update for several reasons. The first thing that I want to say is that, as you know, the virus is real. And yet, I mean, the virus is real. It's a biological weapon. I know people who've lost their sense of smell and taste because of it. I know people who know, who've had family members who've died because of this. The virus is real. No question about it. And those who are saying that it's a total hoax are just flat out wrong. However, the health authorities who have been pushing the lockdowns and the quarantines and the masks and the vaccines and everything else, they have now lost all credibility, to the point where I will no longer listen to them. I will no longer recommend wearing masks. I will no longer support any social distancing, any lockdowns, any vaccine, nothing of the kind. Not because the virus isn't real. Like I said, the virus is real. But because we know how to beat it with nutrition. And the tech giants and the media and the corrupt, fraudulent criminal science establishment, the medical journals like The Lancet and so on, they are all covering up the truth about how easy it is to beat this thing. We can beat COVID-19 by simply using nutrition. We can use vitamin D, vitamin C. We can use zinc. We can use healthy eating. We can use, you know, a number of nutritional supplements that are out there, and there's some experimental items that are worth looking into additionally, such as chlorine dioxide, for example. I think we should do studies on it. But there are a number of candidates of things that can work. Even hydroxychloroquine plus zinc has been well documented to work, even though the entire medical establishment tried to destroy the credibility of that drug and nutrient combination. In truth, that works. It saves lives. But the admission I have to make here today, and the failure on my part, is that I did not think that doctors and nurses would deliberately murder patients in hospitals in the United States. And it turns out that I overestimated the humanity of the doctors and nurses somehow. I'm not trying to denigrate every doctor and nurse that's out there. I know there are a lot of nurses that listen to this. A lot of nurses have been blowing the whistle and so on. But did you see this New York City nurse, you know, former military combat medic gal, I think. She's blown the whistle. She was on Tucker Carlson. She's blown the whistle. She took undercover video about how the New York City hospitals were taking healthy patients that didn't have COVID-19, and they were sticking them in the same rooms with confirmed infected COVID-19 patients. And then they were using the very long duration tests that take 5 or 10 days to get results so that the healthy patients were getting infected at the hospital. In other words, they were taking people who were coming in just with a cough or a cold or a flu or something, and they were sticking them in the room so they would catch COVID-19, and then they would shove them onto a ventilator, and they would be billing, you know, Medicare for all this money. And they did this deliberately. In other words, the doctors and nurses, at least in this hospital in New York, they deliberately murdered people so they could make more money. And you know what? Shame on me for not fully grasping how evil these people are, because I didn't think they were capable of doing that. I thought that there was no way that a bunch of doctors and nurses would get together and literally murder patients for profit, all on purpose. And it turns out that there are doctors and nurses that are that evil, and they do run the medical system. again, I'm not saying every doctor or nurse is this evil, but at least in this hospital in New York City, they were. And it's hard to imagine that that isn't more widespread, just given the total lack of ethics in medicine, how doctors are bribed by the drug companies and paid off, and all these things. Seems like this practice is probably fairly widespread. So, again, you know, my apologies for underestimating the depths of evil, because these people are criminals against humanity. They would take people who didn't have COVID, they would give them COVID in the hospital so they could make money while they're killing them, but they're billing, you know, Medicare. So killing and billing. You know how dentistry is, what do they say, drill, fill, and bill? Medicine, I guess, hospital medicine now is just killing and billing with COVID-19. You know, testing, killing, and billing. It's sick. It's sick. So just to summarize where we are right now, by the way, the fact that they were killing some people by infecting them with real COVID-19 from other patients, you can't, by the way, look at that scenario. You can't say that it's all a hoax.
Well, maybe that's a good place to stop. It's a very interesting program that Mike has here. I had no idea this was going on. I thought I would share that with you. the world has gone truly insane. I am going to pick up in Contact Report 239 and read to you a little section here, a discussion between Billy and Patah about ships that they were seeing from the Tao universe. And then I'll try to maybe fill in some gaps here in case people aren't sure about certain things related to the Meyer case. Patah says, of course, I didn't explain that. The three large circling light phenomena, which lasted for several hours, were three spaceships that belonged to a larger fleet of our friends from the Tao universe who visited the Earth. They stayed in terrestrial space for several days and thus also over your center and in its nearer environment. That night, they circled over the lakes of Pfaffkin and Griefensee in order to investigate these. But in order to be protected from the prying eyes of the Earth people, they remained high above the high floating clouds, but through the luminous ionization shrouds could still be seen from the Earth, which shone through the clouds. However, this wasn't observed by many people. So just a quick recap here. These are ships from the Tao universe. The Tao universe is our sister universe. We live in what's called the Dern universe. I think both universes began at the same time. There were like two big bangs that occurred. Both of these universes are 46 trillion years old. The people that live in the Tao universe are called the Timars, I guess. And they came from our universe originally thousands of years ago. They developed a technology that enabled them to get through this universal barrier. And the man Patah here is what they call a Plearen, who I think are a few hundred years behind the Timars in terms of their, you know, technological advancements. So, but evidently, these ships from the Tao universe were observing some things in Switzerland, where Billy lives. And Billy continues here and says, it would have been nice if they had let us see them. Was Askit perhaps also there? Ta says, no, she didn't come into our universe. The entire fleet consisted of missiles that were equipped solely for research purposes, including three that you could observe. Now, this next section, I'm not sure why they inserted it in here yet. And it's entitled My First Real UFO Experience by Christian Frenner. And Christian is one of the higher-ups there in FIGU, one of Billy's right-hand men. So I'll go ahead and read this quickly, and then we'll move on to the Mighty Thoughts. And I'll also try to give a little bit of an overview for people. It was in the early 80s when I occasionally observed the starry night sky and on occasion observed moving, respectively flying, points of light that moved in various directions and at various speeds across the sky. Then in each case, I always asked myself whether it was a satellite or even a so-called UFO. I was aware that satellites are only visible when they reflect sunlight, an object that would move into the so-called Earth's shadow. While shining at the same time would certainly not be a satellite. However, I always decided against looking deeper into the matter and inquiring, for example, about the orbital heights of satellites, respectively the dimensions of the Earth's shadow in relation to the different seasons and nighttime. Somehow, it wasn't so important for me to know whether that point of light was a so-called UFO or a satellite. Then on the night of the 1st to the 2nd of June 1991, it had finally become so far that I, as it later turned out, would experience my first confirmed sighting of an extraterrestrial object, more precisely three objects. It was already after midnight, after our monthly core group general assembly in the Semyase Silver Star Center, when I stood together with other core group members on the west side of the shed and saw in the southwesterly direction, hanging in the clouds in the sky, three bright spots of light circling around in large elliptical orbits. At first, I thought it might be a laser projection from a discotheque or an open-air festival, etc., which was emitted into the clouds, into the night sky for advertising purposes. I had also been able to observe such at home at various times and on the weekends. In each case, only a single point of light and in a fast, hectic movements. This is understandable when one considers the hectic music and the desired advertising effect. Therefore, on the aforementioned evening, I had to agree with Billy when he excluded this possibility, since the three lights were really moving too slowly and over too wide of an area across the night sky. They weren't airplanes, hot air balloons, or even swarms of insects. So what were they? The solution to the mystery finally resulted on the occasion of Billy's next meeting with Ta, which took place on the 20th of December 1991. Ta explained that he had seen the luminous ionization clouds of three very large spaceships originating from the Tao universe. These very large spaceships that were only equipped for research purposes and were of a larger fleet moved high over the cloud cover in order to be able to pursue their research projects undisturbed there above in the area of the Pfaffiker and the Griefensee, the two lakes. I guess we have another UFO sighting here. Maybe we can save this for next time. Just a few things I thought I would throw out, and then we'll pick up in the Might of Thoughts. Billy Meyer, again, is approaching his middle 80s. He grew up in Bulach, Switzerland, which is a little farther north than he is now. He lives in Hinterschmidt-Rudi, which they say is about 35, 37 kilometers east of Zurich. It's kind of a an area behind the tiny mountain village where there are beautiful pine trees and snow-covered mountains. Billy had a series of contacts with a man named Svoth starting in about 1943. They initially began as telepathic messages, and then eventually Svoth told Billy to meet him somewhere. And at that time, Billy was living at, I think, 1253 Niederflux, it's a street in Bulach, Switzerland, which has some beautiful mountains there, the Eichenmoser and Bruder Mountains, and wide meadows and beautiful trees and forests, large forests. And Billy was taken up in the ship, I think, during their second meeting. And one of the most interesting things is that Billy was told about his Vorgängers, or six of his Vorgängers who were prophets. Those were previous personalities, previous lifetimes. And they were Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And Svoth explained to Billy that in this lifetime, he would be the seventh of those six prophets, and he would write down in writing these teachings that had been shared on the earth in ancient times, the teaching of the Spirit, but which was never written down accurately, or it wasn't even written down in prior times. So that was Billy's objective for this lifetime. Svoth put a device on his head, on Billy's head, that allowed him to gain a wellspring of knowledge. It also enhanced his abilities to look into the future, things that he did as in these other lifetimes. It also protected his consciousness from enemies that would later try to get into his consciousness and cause trouble. So Svoth basically told him what was going to happen in his life, and Billy had to just kind of, you know, go through the steps. He was told he would lose his left arm in a bus accident in the Middle East. He was told that his wife would turn against him. He was told that he would form a group of people of like-mindedness around him who would help him disperse the teaching, the ancient universal teaching. It's called the teaching of the Spirit. And what it teaches us is what are called the creational natural laws. And these laws include the law of love, effective love, brotherly love, which is something that creation radiates. Now, the Meyer teaching doesn't use the term God. They talk about the creation, which in German would be the word Schöpfung. And the creation has no personality. It's a different kind of living being than a human being. A human being or an animal has a personality. And we humans or animals are called Wesen in the German. We have a personality, also a free will. The universal consciousness has no personality and has a kind of a very limited free will because it adheres with a tremendous intensity to what are called these creational natural laws, one of which is striving, which is the constant work to improve yourself. And the whole purpose of life is the evolution of the consciousness. So the human being evolves in terms of its consciousness, the creation does as well. Creation has a consciousness. But, for example, down to the tiniest atomic building block, the universal consciousness is dedicated to the striving. Now, there are some hardworking humans. We're not that dedicated. We have free wills, as do animals. And sometimes we like to go into times where we're just really not doing much of anything. We become a little aimless. We have some purposelessness. And then we finally pull ourselves to back together and get back to work. But the creation, at least right now in its expansion phase, will be, I think it's 155 trillion years, if I remember that correctly, in this expansion phase. And I don't even know that it rests at all in this expansion phase. Now, there will be a contraction phase. And I think that begins its rest, but maybe not. It's truly resting in the sleep phase after we... So the universe expands dramatically, like 155 trillion years. We're 46 trillion years along this expansion line, and then it will take about 155.5 or something like that trillion years in its contraction. And then I assume there's something like the Zohar, which causes a Big Bang and this whole process, you know, repeats. Now, what's different about our universe now is it is, in its initial creation, in this initial phase, and we have physical material in our universe. My understanding is this will be the only phase when there are physical, truly physical material in the universe. It will just be energetic after that point. And that has always seemed a little sad to me, but I don't know that that's a logical point of view. We have in our current universe 7 counter-rotating belts. And the first few of these belts are rather small. Well, in relation to belts 5, 6, and 7 anyway. So our universe, our material part of our universe, although smaller in comparison, goes on for untold light years, just hundreds of millions of light years. It goes on and on and on and on. And it's continuing to get bigger. It, like I said, these belts, they counter-rotate against one another. And within the material belt of our universe are what's called 7 different space-time configurations, like dimensions. And these different space-time configurations, they have solar systems and stars and planets, and they're very similar in many aspects. And these extraterrestrials not only travel, you know, many, many light years in an instant with the technologies they have, they can even cross out of their own space-time configurations and into other space-time configurations. And the Pleiaren have done that. When they come to our planet from Era or wherever they happen to be at the time, Era being their world, which, by the way, they terraformed. Now, the people like Ta, who we were reading from before, are their ancestors are from Lyra Vega. And so are some of the people here on Earth, ancestors are from Lyra Vega. Although this is a different space-time configuration, this Lyra Vega that the ancestors of Ta come from. So I just wanted to, I think it's good to kind of reiterate some of those things that we've learned in the past. And I'm going to jump to Mach der Gedanken, which is one of the books that Billy wrote in the fulfillment of his mission. And what this book helps you with all aspects of your life, because all aspects of your life are controlled by your thoughts, and your thoughts can be very mightful. And if they are very mightful, then you can affect the circumstances in your life either very positively, in a very healthy, good way, If your thoughts are neutral positive, or in a negative way, if you have negative thoughts and a neutral positive thoughts, if I was being neutral positive, I would say I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm the master of my own destiny. But I know life puts some difficulties up against me, and that would be kind of a balancing negative. So then you would be in the neutral positive equalized balance that we're talking about here. So let me read a little from page 62. And we're talking about wrong thinking here. Thus, solely the reason for the wrong thinking must be searched for, which is then precisely analyzed in order to clarify the circumstances as precisely as possible. A neutral positive equalized line of thought must then be formed out of the creation of clarity and be tended and nurtured in order to form in this way a new progressive and healing form of thinking which counters the harmful negative effects. So he's describing this neutral positive thinking and saying that it can heal the harmful negative effects if you were stuck, for example, in thinking in a negative way. And let me continue here. He's going to talk about some of the positive thinkers and why they were wrong. An extraordinary amount of nonsense is told and written directly in regard to positive thinking, and in fact, quite especially in esoteric form, such as by the writing-obsessed esotericist Joseph Murphy, who killed himself. Now, it's interesting that this guy killed himself because that kind of thing will happen if your thoughts are positive all the time, all the time, all the time. You need to be in the neutral balance and be neutral positive, because if you're always positive, you're going to go into an extreme just like you would if you were overly negative. So to be healthy, you want to be neutral positive. The superlative minister Norman Vincent Peale, as well as Dale Carnegie and Erhard F. Freytag, who is described as a religious zealot and a charlatan. But aside from these, there are many others of the same kind for whom it is only about such esoteric religious or other doctrine or purely about profit which they snatch, or rather snatched with their books and lectures and so forth. But in addition to that, represent in the books, businesses are also renowned psychotherapists with their works, which completely condemn positive thinking and advocate the erroneous position that solely psychoanalysis and psychotherapy are by their grace beneficial and justifiable. So neutral positive thinking is really the key to maintaining your psychological health, and it helps you very much in your physical health as well. So you want to be neutral, positive, equalized, balance. I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic. But I know life has its difficulties. Anyway, thanks for listening, folks. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have